Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. Today, I have some of your favorites and two of my favorites as well. I was just recently on their show and had the best time. They are hot off the heels of a triumphant appearance on Watch What Happens Live. They are doing live shows across this beautiful nation. In fact, they have two live shows coming up, one in Philadelphia, which will be next week. We'll talk about those, but we are here to talk about the season premiere of Summer House. And of course, we're going to dive into, I'm sure, a lot of the other shows as well. But they are manly men like me, because that's the first thing you think when you think me. So we've got the Brav Bros, Shooter and Steel. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Hey, happy guys night.
Full on guys night. I also love the idea of you introing and saying one of my favorite, and then Steel and I have to figure out which one is actually your favorite.
By the way, what if I start playing manipulative mind games with the guests? That would be truly that's truly amazing. I want to point out, if you can't see this, if you're not watching the video, we all are wearing hats.
Oh yes, dudes. Dudes wear hats.
And we all have stubble. Yep. Or a full beard right now. I do want to point out, covering Bravo for 4 years, my beard is turning so white that it is. And that's what's going to happen to you guys as well. You know,
it's already started, dude. I look in the mirror and I was shaving today. I haven't shaved in like a week. So I was like, all right, it's time to like trim it up so I look good for Ryan and everybody. And as I was trimming my beard, I'm like, fuck, man, I got like a lot more grays than I used to have.
And that's called Scandaball.
Yeah,
that's called exactly Scandaball, Steel. You name those whites Scandaball. So you guys, we are in the, there is so much Bravo happening right now. And I have to tell you, I was almost kind of kind of scared that Summer House was premiering, because I'm like, oh, we're going to go down this journey of Carl and Lindsay and all of this potential darkness. But then I watched the episode and I got to tell you, it was like seeing friends that I like, you know, back from summer break. How did you guys feel about the premiere episode?
Yeah, I mean, that is essentially how I view Summer House. Summer House was my original favorite. So every time that it starts up, even though I might feel a little anxious going into seasons, depending on what we've heard in the off season, once we get there, I'm happy. I like, they pop up. I don't care. Like, we talked to Carl last year about how bad the season was. And now I have like a newfound respect for him. There's just so many things that go on from season to season, but every time that it premieres, I get excited. And it's not, it's probably because Winterhouse. I hate Winterhouse so much.
Why do you hate Winterhouse?
Winterhouse sucks. Winterhouse is so stupid.
Shooter's coming out swinging, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Winterhouse is so dumb. Those one-off shows, I could do without them. I understand why they're there. But as far as us watching them, like, I don't need to watch that. There's nothing actually going to happen. They're just going to discuss things that we already know about. I don't give a shit about any of that. Let's just leave the placeholder where it is and let's get to Summer House, because I always enjoy pulling up in the Hamptons, seeing my friends, and getting ready to kick off summer, because summer's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Well, and Shooter is now programming for Bravo because Winterhouse is now put on hold.
Hell yeah.
Winterhouse truly has been put on hold, so that you're not going to have to deal with Winterhouse this next year, Shooter. Steel, what did you think of the premiere of Summer House?
I had similar, I don't know what the word is. Like, I was anxious slightly, I guess, for this to come out because we've been covering so much, like our slate, and you understand because you do an episode every day. Like, there's been so much stuff to cover recently that it's been borderline overwhelming. Like, other problem, it's a good problem to have, is that a lot of the shows right now and in the past month, 2-3 months, have been really good. So it's been stuff that we've like wanted to cover. So it's like kind of a double-edged
sword. Which is even more upsetting sometimes, because you're like, yeah, damn it. I have to cover this as well. Like, because exactly. It's good to talk about. Yeah.
Right. Thank God. You know, it sucks. And here we go. Shooter Potomac was such a flop this season, so we actually whacked it from our lineup, but it actually made room for all the other stuff because there were so much good things happening. But as it came on, I had a similar thing where I saw Kyle Cook and I was like, oh, you know what? Like, seeing Kyle for whatever reason makes me smile. And then I saw everybody else and I had this overwhelming feeling the entire episode that, wow, the vibes are so, so high in the house. Everyone's getting along. Why? Because Carl and Lindsay are not.
Oh,
yep. That's exactly why.
By the way, you almost feel bad for these guys because it is, you know, and at the end, Gabby's even on a FaceTime call with Lindsay and Carl. And it's like,
that was
you
so
guys,
funny.
The vibes are immaculate here. And it's such an obvious, like, she's not meaning it to be hurtful, but you can tell Lindsay is like, what do you mean by that? It's just, no, everybody's just getting along famously. You know, nobody's missing. And Lindsay is like, well, we're missing. And it's like, oh yeah, you guys.
No,
and
I think nobody's missing.
Yeah. Gabby wasn't even putting two and two together about what that could possibly mean. But listen, at one point, Paige now, like, sitting in bed is a virus. She, at one point in this episode, got the entire house in her bed.
Yep.
A big moment.
Yeah, that's a huge moment for Paige. Paige loves that. That's an iconic Paige moment to have everybody come to her bed. So that way she doesn't have to leave. She's not missing out on any of the drama or the rumors that are spreading here and there. And she gets to talk shit in bed. Like, that's the dream for Paige.
Yeah, we start off the episode with, like, really dramatic opera music. It's like, and it's like shot of, like, the Empire State Building. And we see some of the clips that we saw earlier a couple months ago with, like, the Lindsay and Carl breakup. And so we already know. It's like, I always compare it to the Titanic. Like, we know this ship is going down. Let's see how we get to there. But then that's what surprised me was that then I really enjoyed the rest of the episode with the cat. Like, I will say, the Kyle and Amanda stuff, obviously there's some darkness there. That's a very real relationship, but even that, I hate to say, I was like, I enjoy watching them, like, give each other shit. Is that bad?
I don't think it's bad. And I think it's because there's something about those two when they're feuding where it's not as, like, dark, I guess. I don't know, because they always seem to figure a way out through it. So, like, we've seen them at their worst, like the cheating scandal, like getting through that, you know, Amanda took him back, which I was baffled she referenced this episode. I couldn't believe she brought it up.
Yeah, it came up at the very end.
She dropped that. I was like, whoa, yeah. I didn't think that was ever going to come back out. But there's just something about them where, I don't know, they're tumultuous at times. It's rocky. They yell, they fight. But you will always see Kyle stumbling drunk back into bed with her, and she'll always open the covers and welcome him in. And then it's just something comforting about those two, I think. And I think that that's where this show does well, is that if these two are feuding in the house, it doesn't detract from everybody else in the house. They don't take their bullshit to the rest of the group, which I appreciate, because Kyle is able to compartmentalize and be like, all right, well, I'm going to go have fun here. And Amanda's able to do it and be like, well, I'm going over here. And arguably that's the root of their problems, according to both of them, is that they don't get together. But at the same time, the way that they go about it and not bringing the whole house down because they've got stuff going on is something that a lot of Bravo couples as a whole could kind of take note of. Like, you don't have to drag everyone down and have a terrible time just because these two are fighting.
Well, so you're obviously referencing Lindsay and Carl too from last season. Like, they brought everybody into
that.
I mean, but Kyle also wanted to be a part of that. Kyle was throwing out, like, stuff towards Lindsay a lot of that season. Shooter, do you agree?
No, not really. I think that the way that it works, the way that it works with Kyle and Amanda is we've seen them together for so long that even the rest of the house doesn't give a shit anymore. They don't get bogged down by the two of them fighting. And yes, I mean, I will credit both of them, because Kyle has, you know, Kyle's still Kyle. But when it comes to Amanda, he's a little tamer than he was, say, 4 or 5 years ago that we saw. And when it comes to Amanda, she can stand her ground a lot more. Like you already referenced, she'll go out and she'll still have fun with the girls. In the past, we've seen Amanda just go to her room. She goes to her room, she shuts her bed or shuts the door, gets in bed, and she cries about Kyle doing whatever. And then Kyle's drunk outside and it's very messy. And there's a whole issue and everybody's talking about it. Now, nobody cares anymore, because it's just like, oh, that's just Kyle and Amanda. We're not going to get bogged down by them. But with Lindsay and Carl, I'm saying that it wasn't always like that. Don't throw your hand up already. It took a while to get here. We're here now, but we weren't always there. And that's my point. Lindsay and Carl, I don't think, are getting any benefit of the doubt. As soon as they got together, everybody's annoyed. So they don't have that room for comfort of, they're going to be fighting. Like, we're going to get involved immediately. And now we're all pissed off about this. They're not really, I mean, yeah, obviously they broke up, but they weren't really fighting a whole lot more than Kyle and Amanda used to. And
I think it's hard when you go into that relationship and everybody's already decided that it's not a good relationship.
Yeah.
It's a really hard hill to overcome. Even if they're in a love bubble, you still have these permeating factors outside that just kind of bum you out when you think about it. But did you ever think you would see the day where Kyle is, where Paige is a confidant of Kyle?
No.
Definitely not.
No, but I love it. I genuinely enjoy watching those two talk to each other because I think that, you know, we see Kyle have heart to hearts with a few cast members over the past few years where he'll kind of connect and talk to them. I think Paige offers unique perspective to him because she is so close with Amanda and, you know, they've had to scratch and claw their way to get to this point where Paige and Kyle are close enough to talk. So she's seen him at his worst. She's seen him at his best. She's seen them at their worst, seen them at their best. It offers him insight into, you know, how Amanda's actually feeling about certain situations because Paige knows her so well. And at the same time, she knows how Kyle operates now. Like, she can see through the anger or when he gets too drunk and when he makes an idiot out of himself. She knows that's not him inherently. And I think that it gives her a better read on the situation. At the same time, I think Kyle respects her opinion that much more because of how close she is to Amanda. So I think that in these scenes, you're getting genuine constructive criticism and a genuine back and forth versus somebody else that Kyle may go to that's just going to make him feel better or side with him or just blindly side with Amanda. You're getting a somewhat middle ground. Obviously, she's going to lean more towards Amanda's side. But Paige, and we've seen this kind of growing up of Paige and Craig simultaneously, but I think that Paige's relationship as well and how far she's come with Craig. I know we could talk about that, but
there's a long way to go.
But I do think that, you know, these conversations between those two are really captivating to watch because it seems so real and it's just really good feedback.
Well, the fact that Kyle or she references Kyle, like, oh, Kyle will call me and vent. And I'm like,
yeah,
what is that like? I just never thought Kyle would be like, hey, Paige, I need you right now. Pick up the phone. Like, that shocks me. And it makes me like, that's the kind of conversations I wish that was like GoPros attached to Paige at all times. We also have the introduction of two new cast members. And in true Summer House fashion, one of the cast members can't be there immediately. The Summer House does not work unless people call off of the Summer House shooting. So we have Lindsay and Carl at the White House, which is acceptable. And then we had the new gentleman that doesn't come because he's at his buddy's wedding. But we have West there. And West, to me, looks like a mini version of Kyle Cook, even though he's coming in as one of Lindsay and Carl's friends, I think, or Lindsay's. What did you think of West?
I don't know. So we've done this for so long that I try my hardest to not jump to how I feel about somebody after one episode. I'm a little trepidatious about how I feel about him. I think he could get really annoying towards the middle of the season.
West?
Yeah.
What?
What are you talking about?
No,
you don't
dude. As soon as he came on screen, I'm like, I don't know this guy. I would hang out with this guy in a heartbeat.
Yeah, all right.
He reminds me of my earth. He reminded me of my buddy. I have a buddy, Matt Beyer. He reminded me exactly of, and I love Matt Beyer. So I was like, I like this guy. And he seems like he has his head on his shoulders where he even says to Kyle in regards to Sierra, oh, you feeling Sierra? He's like, yeah, but I don't get like, you know, it's the first night. Who knows who else is going to come in here? And then they have the super tall guy, Jesse, coming in there after that. So like, I thought he had a good head on his shoulders, but Shooter, you want to come out saying this guy's a dick.
I think I may have gone too far the other direction where now instead of like sitting and waiting and seeing how I feel about somebody, if I feel like there's too much good there where like there's nothing wrong with it, I'm like, there's something's going to happen. I'm going to be annoyed by this guy halfway through. I don't know what happened to me, but this is how I think now. It's just, I can't avoid it.
I think that he was so composed coming in. Like, he seemed like a normal down to earth dude. And like, I really genuinely appreciated how he was talking with Sierra and actually asking her questions. Cause we've seen in the past, as Sierra points out, when new dudes come into the house, it's usually a whirlwind and they're going from like chick to chick to try to figure out who's sending out the vibes. Sierra was giving him a vibe and he still played it so cool. And I loved that scene you referred to where when Jesse walks in the house and, you know, he's already talking about the tall guy. And I love that he says, like, you know, I had a girl say that I read tall. And I love that. I thought that line was hilarious. But when Jesse walks in and it goes to his confessional, he's just like, fuck, Yeah, like, that's what it's all dark exactly. heads. I'm like, this guy's great. Like, and the fact that Kyle can have that conversation with him where he's saying to him, like, hey, man, you feeling Sierra? Because she doesn't even like cook with people. She's never cooked before. He doesn't take that and go, hell yeah, dude. Like, I'm going to get in there. Like, he's just like, but we'll see.
The bar's not that high is what you're saying. We've got a really low bar.
I'm saying this is a genuine dude. This guy seems all right. like a real guy. But you're like, such a cynic.
All you're doing Jesus. Is just saying no, he's not. All you're doing is saying he's not a scumbag.
Like, no, I'm not. I'm saying he's a good guy, period. Not just all right. a scumbag.
Well, Shooter's got me thinking now, though. We can't. You're right. Maybe.
What did you feel about Corey? Hold on. What did you feel about Corey last year when Corey came in? You're like, yeah, he's kind of dick, no, but he seems okay, and the way that he talks to people, it's like, all right, he could be a fun time. Now when we're Sam like, all right, fuck with Corey, I don't care.
When Sam initially got with Corey, it made Corey look better in my eyes. But until then, I was like, I don't know, man. He's doing a lot of CrossFit.
I think people liked
drinking.
Corey. I think they enjoyed Corey last year, and now it's like, no. So I'm just getting ahead of it. All right, let me live in the future.
I appreciate where you're coming from. I get what you're saying. No, you I never thought that. I do genuinely because we do jump our guns sometimes. So like, yeah, I hear you, but. With Corey, I never thought he was a good guy. I was like, he's exactly what he is. Like, he's the party guy. He's a playboy. He's going to come in here and play all different sides of the street, which he did. Like, he didn't surprise me at all. And when it came out that, like, him and Sam didn't work out, I was like, yeah, duh, that makes a lot of sense. West seems genuine. And look, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to say, oh, read that wrong. But
you'll
he
eat
does
a jean
seem...
jacket?
No, like, David Yontef has to do that. But we told him, well, I forget what the bet was. We got to... But if he loses, he has to eat a jean jacket. But
by the way, was a hysterical Katie Maloney. Like, I would rather eat denim. And I thought that was such a visual talking head. I thought it was great. Yeah.
But I don't know. I really, really enjoyed West. I think that he seems genuine. He seems like a good dude. He seems honestly like a dude that I would just hang out with. So I love that part of it. And the fact that, you know, you got the cattle rancher in him, just he resonates with me personally. So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
And he also
tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I love that we're like voting West Man of the Year on Bravo already. He is Man of the Year.
Number one guy in the group.
He made Sierra, I mean, and I don't mean, he made Sierra almost seem interesting. And I know that sounds like a slam, but like she did come off very different than she has in the past. But Sierra doesn't have a good record in the house. She's saying like, you know, we know the Austin situation. We've seen previous iterations of Sierra and she always comes off a little bit like a Paige underling. We don't have Maya in the house anymore. So that's interesting as well. And they even have a conversation on the ride up where Danielle is driving. And, you know, they want potentially Sierra to be in her loose phase. You know, it's like, maybe I'll try my loose era. And I was like, you don't have to try an era if you don't want to try an era. Don't go sleep around just to try to, like, have a new follow your draw. You know,
it would be nice if Sierra didn't jump at the first guy that walked in the house every single summer. Like, you know what? Maybe
reality shows make you do that.
That's no, I think that's her. I honestly do. I think that she's like, oh, this guy's handsome. I'm going to talk to him right away. Like, I think it would be better for her if she just waited a couple of weeks and just see what happens. Because you know what? You might get locked down to this guy and then another tall, dark and handsome guy walks in the door and you're like, fuck, I missed out.
But that should not be what we're basing it on is the tall, dark. That's my point. West is not a classically handsome man. That's my whole point of all of this is like she gravitates towards
that's
him because
mean.
He can talk.
I think Paige made a good point is that he got more attractive as the episode went on.
Yeah.
By the way, I love it. It's just three bros talking about men being attractive as like cool dudes. Like,
you're not comfortable talking about men being attractive. Then that's
By the way, I'm very
not comfortable. You. I just
with
mean
it.
Men, yeah. Men in general.
Yeah.
Men in general.
All the men that are listening to this.
When Shooter comes over to record and he looks good, I'm like, hey, dude, looking good today. He's like, thanks, man. That's why I sometimes get so jealous.
Long. I get so jealous of you duo groups like you and Watch What Crap, and you get to say fun things like you're looking good today. And you like, well,
Steele hasn't told me that I've looked good in a very long time.
There it is. Let's
well,
get into that.
He's playing it up for the camera right
recently. So what, am I supposed to lie?
Yeah. Lie to me. Make me feel better.
It was his birthday last week, for the love of God, Steele.
Yeah,
come on.
We've been sick and stuff. Like we've been through it the last like two. We've had an amazing 2 months, but it has taken a toll.
God, tell me about it. We have West, and then we have the new guy, Jesse Solomon, and they keep saying both his first and last name. And this Jesse Solomon, to your point, is that West got there first. Jesse Solomon comes in. He's 7'1" or 7'2". He's very tall. He's like 6'5", I think.
He's 6'2".
Should be playing basketball somewhere.
Yeah, he should be. In fact, yeah. I get frustrated when I see people that tall, because I know immediately, like Sierra says in her talking head, I like tall men. I like them. And every girl seems to like tall men, but it's like a party trick. We got to see if there's anything else there about Jesse Solomon. And he comes at the later half. We see him starting to hit on Paige, and I think that comes up next week's episode. But what did you think about this Jesse Solomon? I did like Wes saying he has a smile that goes to his earlobes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that son of a bitch is right. He's got these big white teeth.
Am I going first this time?
I am not
going to like this guy.
All right, there we go.
Right out of the gate. Like, I know dudes like this. Like, they're in finance. They're tall. They're handsome. Like, and they seem to think, and I didn't jump to this conclusion until I saw when he was talking about Paige and hitting on Paige. And I was like, okay, so he's one of those dudes. They seem to think that because they look a certain way, they have a certain kind of job, they get away with more things when they're a little bit more forthcoming, and they don't follow the rules, and they cross boundaries, and they seem to get slaps on the wrist, and they don't ever get fully reprimanded. Like, I grew up with dudes like that. I know dudes like that now. I hate guys like that. That's the vibe I got when he entered the house. I was trying not to flag him immediately, and then I saw the scenes from like later in the season and next week. I was like, oh, that's exactly who this dude is, and I can't stand guys like that. But I think the girls painted it perfectly, and you can take it to a whole different level where it's like, yeah, West fucks. No, excuse my language. And Jesse humps like a Labrador retriever, and 1000% this is the dude that can say the right things, like, get, but when push comes to shove and it comes time to like perform, he sucks. He's the worst at it, because that's his whole MO.
What do you mean perform?
Have sex.
Oh, make love. Make love.
Oh, make love.
Make whoopee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make
well, Shooter, I'm guessing you love Jesse. If we're going
to the complete opposite, you know what? Yeah. I love a good tall man. No. I get that same vibe, but honestly, that Steele just got from him. When he walks in the house, I got that that New York finance. Like, he wears an Oxford shirt with a vest over it every single day of the week, and that's like his entire personality. You get that vibe from him immediately. I'm going to go out and say it again. I don't think that he had that great of a smile. I thought it was a little creepy. I thought it was too big. A little Joker-ish, honestly. It goes all the way up here.
Wow.
You know how he got these scars? In finance, in New York.
Tom Sandoval got compared to Heath Ledger's Joker in the New York Times this week, and now we are comparing Jesse to a Joker-type smile.
More like Jared Leto. I think that Sandoval is probably Joker. Jared Leto, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. So I love that we are talking about the new characters, and especially the male new characters, because I will say the last couple of seasons, we really haven't had a standout male new character on Summer House. And I, you know, even going back from Alex, who would cook, turkey meat in the mornings because he was really needed his protein.
Because he was boring as shit. Yeah.
And then last season, his name was it Chris?
Chris.
And I thought, it is interesting their casting process, because I was kind of thought that Chris would get a second season, even though it was like so-so. And I also am curious why Maya and Sam didn't get asked back. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Maya, I don't think she did enough last year. I mean, like, until the end of the year where she had the whole issue with her boyfriend, who was clearly cheating on her, and like all of that, that wasn't enough for me to bring her back. Sam, I felt like, did a great job. Not only did she do a great job.
Very surprised about that one.
I felt like she connected with everybody in the group. Like, there was the whole issue where even when her and Sierra were talking and her and Maya were talking because Sam talks too much, she handled that pretty well. And people started to like resonate with that. She had a good rapport with Kyle. How many times did we see her and Kyle talk? And you're like, that's really weird that her and Kyle are communicating right now. Like, I thought that Sam performed really well. I just wonder if there was a weird Corey caveat as part of that. And that's why she wasn't invited back.
I wonder if Corey dinged her reputation in some weird way. But at the same time, I thought, well, why wouldn't they want those two in the house even dating, because Corey potentially might stray? So that could be, or did they not want to interfere with already having to deal with Carl and Lindsay or their relationship? So I was trying to go through it because I thought, well, Sam is a no-brainer because she did do so much and she seemed very like upbeat, wanting to promote the show.
Yeah,
that one confused me.
No, and she honestly, I felt like she delivered so well last year to the point where she was actually partying. And what is this show about? It's supposed to be about having fun at a shore house in the summer, going out and having fun, meeting new people, throwing huge parties in the Hamptons,
growing mullets,
having mustaches, all the things that we love. And that's what I felt Sam did a great job of that last year, where it was honestly her and Kyle were the only ones that were actually partying. Everybody else was going to fucking Barry's boot camp at 8 a.m. So they would go to bed at 10 o'clock. Like, it pissed me off beyond
belief. Now, I know Steele is a big gym rat, and so I bet he loves when they get up and go to Barry's boot camp in the morning. I hate it like Shooter does.
Yeah.
Because that just makes me feel bad about myself.
My whole thing with it is like, we're not watching the show to watch people go to Barry's boot camp. Like, we get it. You're fit, you're healthy, all that stuff. Like, it's great. I love it. I love the fact that Carl has found this health journey, and I'm all for it and I support it and all that. But I understand what this show is about. It's not about Barry's boot camp, right? And that's kind of my whole point with those two. They don't fit the mold anymore, and that's okay. But like, as I'm watching this whole show, and like, this first episode was so much fun. It was so fun, and I love that. Now, as far as Sam goes, I was baffled as well. I thought that she would be back. She did more than enough to come back. I would imagine that the Corey-Sam thing doesn't play out this year because they don't want to distract from Lindsay and Carl. I think that that probably had a little bit to do with it, at least. But as far as doing her job and deserving to come back, she 100% did her job. She should have been able to come back. So I'm curious why, like, what the reasoning behind that was, because it definitely wasn't performance-based, and she also resonated well with the audience. People seemed to like her a lot. So I was confused about that a lot. But, you know, it opens the door of how much are we going to get this season of Lindsay and Carl? Is that going to take center stage for the entire season? And that's kind of why they made certain choices, because I don't want it to. Like, I know we need to get to the bottom of it. I know there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know about it, and I'm here for it. But at the same time, without them there, this first episode, seeing all these other people, I'm like, look, there's going to be drama in this house without needing to force it. These people are going to get along. Some people are going to feud. There's already two dudes in the house that the girls seem like they're into, so that's going to cause some shit. There's a lot of good stuff, and I don't like when we force feed issues that we've heard about months ago. It's kind of the same thing that we went through with Beverly Hills. We knew Kyle and Mo were splitting. We knew all that was going on. Then we watched the season, and now that's really all you're focused on, is like, oh, well, when are we going to get to this? When are we going to get to this?
And that's why the season ultimately disappoints you, because you never get that. It's scratched fully. You just get these kind of minor overtures of the stuff that, by the way, if you're a real Bravo head, you know more than the show presents us with. So it's frustrating to back up against that. So that's why ultimately, whether we're in the post-Scandaball era or VPR or even the Carl Lindsay stuff, which we're about to see, we've already heard and seen so much about it, you know, so much speculation, so many things, that it's ultimately those storylines are going to disappoint you. And that's why you do get fascinated. And I'm so happy, like I said, with those two guys, because I'm like, I could see myself talking about these guys. I could see myself being fascinated potentially with their, I have a lot of hope so far. To go to Paige really quick. Paige, I think I've come to accept, she is a lot of girls like, that's, you know, like, girls want to be her. Girls lay. And by the way, Paige is the funniest, one of the funniest people in the house, guy or girl. I've sometimes really questioned her being in other people's ears in previous seasons. I thought she, you know, and listen, I like Lindsay. You know, I understand people's complaints, but I thought it was sometimes very unfair, because Paige would really rally the troops against her, I felt, at times. The Paige thing that's interesting, though, when you put the Craig Conover in of it all, of even in this episode, she's like, you know, I've helped my boyfriend for the last 3 or like something like about like I've made him who he is right now. And having the conversation with Craig about buying a horse. And he said he watched one episode of Wrexham and wanted to buy a soccer team, which I loved. But I love that no matter, I love that Paige truly does keep Craig somewhat humble, because here is somebody, everybody else, including myself, is saying, I fucking love you, Craig. I love you so much. And Paige is like, you're good. I want this to work. Sure. But she doesn't ever seem effusive about it. What are your thoughts?
I mean, we've talked about the Craig and Paige thing for what, 2-3 years now? And it takes a different shape. But at this point in time, we've talked to Craig about this and he seems fine with it. And whenever it's brought up about how, you know, Paige always molded him into the person that he is today, he's the first person to tell you that. So that's why I don't think that he has any issues with her saying that over and over again, because he agrees with it. And I agree with it, honestly, like at this point, if Craig's going to keep talking about it. So I'm fine with it. I've come to accept Paige for who she is. We were mad about her sitting
in bed. Who is she? Shooter, who is she?
Who is Paige?
Ooh. Yeah, who is she? Deep. To you.
Do you want to check my DMs? We share information.
Do you really?
Maybe. No. Who knows?
No.
Guys, let's put out the rumor. Shooter and Paige. Craig, I am so sorry that you had to find out on So Bad It's Good. Please unblock me, Craig. Craig, please unblock me, Craig. Please.
What just happened?
Oh, no, it's definitely nothing weird. It's just that she shares information and I share it through the show. So we've got channels. We work it through. We got to make sure we've got each other's agendas crossed out, you know?
Wait,
what the hell are we talking about?
Wait, are you telling me, Shooter, that Paige has infiltrated the Brav Bros pipeline? So she is potentially feeding this show propaganda.
Correct.
This is news to me. I didn't know this.
Steele, is this true?
I have no idea.
Yesterday that he's been faking his emotions about Beverly Hills for the last 3 weeks. So
no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I talked to Sutton about her date with Steve. All right, I texted Sutton after she went on a date with Steve the second time, and I said, I like this guy. And she told me that she got ghosted by him. She meant to say that she got stood up by him. That's what she actually meant when she said ghosted on the show, because she went for date 3 and he never showed.
Okay,
so
that would have been, because I was like, wait a sec, that's not ghosting when she was talking about that at the finale, and I didn't make a lot of sense. I was like, dude, that is not that at all. That makes way more sense.
So I said the same thing.
And she said no, because he stood her up. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But I found this out like the day of episode. No, I found it out like the day of the episode where she goes on date number 2. So I was like, oh, I don't want to blow up her spot. And I don't want to say she got stood up, because that would be mean. I don't want to embarrass her, because she like shared that info with me.
Oh, so you knew the information before that date happened on the show.
I explained what the ghosting meant. And then Shooter's like, wait a minute, how'd you know that? And I was like, oh, I talked to him. He's like, so you just been faking it this whole time? Like, this calls into question everything. And I was like,
we had a conversation about how great of a guy Steve was and how fun that date looked. And Steele was like, yeah, that looked like so much fun. I kind of wanted to do karaoke.
You throw a couple darts and like, oh, care. Yeah. Like,
Steele didn't tell me shit. So I'm sitting there talking it up and he's like, yeah, it looks really fun. Didn't even let me in on anything.
The fact you guys are keeping secrets from each other is very worrying to me. And I will say this, listen, I've never felt like more.
You still
want to
be part of a Bravo duo?
Yeah, I've never felt more of an elder statesman than I do in this moment. And let me just put this out here. You do not have to listen to it. Be careful becoming friends with these people. Be careful. Yeah. I've done it. I've done it. I've made mistakes. It's not gone well. Some things have gone well, but just be careful at the end of the day. I think you are two smart dudes. You know that already. Just be careful.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. Nice. I feel like our dad just gave us a little pep talk.
I know. Yeah. Just be careful, because there's going to be a day where you're going to have to say something against that person or say how you truly feel. And sometimes they just won't understand it, no matter how much you mean it from a good place.
There's a lot of white in that beer. There's a lot of wise things coming out of you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all wisdom, baby.
Well, listen, so Paige, like, who do you think Paige is, Shooter, to come back to that?
Who do I think she is?
Like, who do you think she is on the show? Like, how do you view her on the show? Like, her place in Summer House?
I've become comfortable with Paige being who she is, where she will last year when she was spiking Danielle towards Lindsay during that whole fucking propaganda or that whole drama that was going on there where they're sitting on the hammock. I don't really care for the conversation with her and Craig over and over and over again of when she's moving to Charleston because I'm done with it. Until there's actually more information, I don't care anymore.
And we know it's kind of fake. We know
it is. Yeah.
Essentially, it's kind of fake because Craig's fine with it. Like, they actually are on more of an agenda than people even realize. So it is frustrating to see that same conversation again and again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Yeah, and I think that if she stays in the role of all the girls are going to come to her, aside from Lindsay, to talk about what's going on in the house, we're going to get information. Like, who else are they going to talk to? They're going to go right to Paige in her bed, sit next to her. We're going to get a good scene about how Sierra feels about this person or how somebody else might feel about that or whatever. And then some guys are going to get a little more closer to her and start talking to her. She is sort of like the caretaker of secrets in the house, and I think that's her role for the house.
But she's not the keeper of secrets. She just
She lets them out, which is even better for the show.
Yes, it is.
She takes care of them for like a day or two, and then she lets them out the next weekend. It's great.
But I will say, I mean, I imagine for a lot of women, this is somebody they look up to because they're funny. They put their boyfriend in their place. They have their own job, you know, make their own paycheck, living in a big city. A lot of things that I think would be admirable. The one ding, though, is just that I don't know. I think it's sometimes frustrating when we can't. The Lindsay of it all. And this ties in with Danielle as well, because, you know, Danielle obviously and Lindsay had a big major break in their friendship last season, which we all saw. It was very painful. And then Danielle went into Winterhouse, didn't have a good season on Winterhouse with the Alex relationship as well. Then we now know Danielle also had a relationship with Joe Bradley from Southern Hospitality, one of Shooter's best friends, and which I found out last time I was on the show. And Danielle coming into this, she's in a good place with all of the other women and also kind of a good place with Lindsay. They're like TBD. We'll see how it goes. And we do know, this is where we know more information than we should. We do know that when the Carl breakup happens, Danielle is majorly there for her. And it seems like they are back in a lot of ways. What is, before I guess we'll get to Lindsay in a second, but what do you guys think about Danielle?
So I think that, look, Danielle had a tough, like really tough season last year. And I don't want to ding her for that. I want to see how she responds this year, I guess, in regards to all of that, because last year was a disaster. I thought she was a train wreck and I didn't enjoy watching her. And watching that whole thing between her and Lindsay got so out of hand, I thought. And whoever you agreed with, it just was a tough look. So I'm curious to see how she responds this year, what that relationship's going to look like. As far as we know, what we've been told is that they're cordial right now. They can be in the same room together. So that's great. But what I'm looking for from her this season, can she have a summer where it's fun? Where it's not, she doesn't get involved with a dude and there's no drama surrounding it. She doesn't get into it with somebody else. I'm curious to see that. I'm also curious back to the Paige part of it, because one thing I will ding her on is the fact that she likes to stir the pot, especially when it comes to Lindsay. I thought there were moments last year where it got ramped up where it didn't need to, where it got pushed to a level because Paige was in Danielle's ear kind of chirping about it and also gathering the other girls in the group. Like, we get that one scene where all the girls are in the like the foyer or whatever, the entranceway, and it's like Danielle's there and they're all like whispering to her while there's a conversation being had in the other room. It's like this weird faction and Paige is kind of like giggling about starting this shit. It's almost like she took pride in this blowing up. And I don't think it needs to go to that level all the time, especially with Lindsay. I think Lindsay gets a bad rap. And look, she's got a rough track record. She has caused a lot of problems in the house, but I think that sometimes she's an easy target and she's easy to kind of poke and get a reaction out of. And I think that if they could lay off of her a little bit, you know, she got a bunch of shit for wanting to go out last season. And like, originally they're telling her, go out, have fun, this, that. And then she does go out and then they have a problem with her being out. It was so confusing when they came at her and what they came at her about. I think that it would be a lot more fun to watch if you just leave her alone and kind of let her have a summer and see what you got. And if she does still put her foot in her mouth, that's one thing. But we don't need people constantly stacking the odds against her because they're already stacked against her. The fact that they're driving to the house and West is like, yeah, Lindsay texted me and mentioned like she's not the house favorite.
Yeah. Imagine having to tell one of your friends that, hey, you're going to a place where a lot of people don't like me. Have fun.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I think that it would be more fun to watch if Paige didn't seem to have an agenda against her. And maybe she doesn't. Maybe it's just like in the moment she gets irritated and kind of pushes the narrative further. But I don't think it's going to be like that this year, just because we know what the caveat is. We know what's going on. It's going to be Lindsay and Carl. So I'm very curious to see how the rest of the group gets involved with this. It's something that obviously has like real life ramifications. It's an engagement and they're on the rocks. And as we know, they don't make it through it. So I'm curious to see what the role of the girls in the group is. I'm curious if as they're going through it, you're going to see if Paige maybe tries to support Lindsay, if she sees that she agrees with her more. I'm curious, or is she going to go the other way and be like, no, Lindsay's nuts, Carl. I've been telling you this, like, get out of there. So there's so many dynamics that are going to come into play with Paige, with the rest of the girls in the group. I just want to see how they respond to the Lindsay and Carl drama, because I don't need to see gang up on Lindsay for the sake of ganging up on Lindsay. But if she deserves it, that's a different story. So I'm curious to see how that stuff plays out.
Shooter?
I have an idea, and I want you to try to do it the way that – watch this show the way that I'm going to watch it, because I can already tell the way Steele's going to watch
Wait,
it.
Wait, naked with a block of cheese?
Well, yes, hey, Swiss
don't
cheese.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Ew, Swiss, really?
Yeah, there's holes in it. Anyway. come on, Steele.
We're bros.
Anyway, I can already tell the way that Steele's going to, like, you just referenced this. You just talked about Beverly Hills, and the way that you watched it, you only honed in on Mo and Kyle. So you didn't really get to see everything else. I don't want you to do that with Summer House, because I'm afraid that we're not going to get any Carl and Lindsay actual drama actually on the rocks until like the last two episodes.
We might not
get shit.
The first episode though made me okay with that. I was like, oh, we got stuff.
Yeah, because they're not there. But like, look, I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to have the annoying growing pains of them back in the house and them calling each other babe every five fucking minutes for like 10 episodes.
Oh, my God. The first scene with the babes, like immediately we went.
We're going to get it, and everybody's going to get annoyed by it. And then they're going to start talking, and then Lindsay's going to get annoyed back. And that's going to be really annoying. If we can focus on everybody else for a little while, that's great. I don't think we're going to get Lindsay and Carl on the rocks until the very end of the season, because they didn't break up until September. So like that's Labor Day weekend. That's the last weekend of the year. That's the last episode of the year. So we might not get shit until the very end. So I don't want to sit here and try to tear apart their relationship when they look okay in July, in the July 4th party, when there's other things going on. So I kind of just want to put them on the back burner, because look, we don't get a lot out of Lindsay and Carl in for the most part when they're together. They go to fucking boot camp in the morning and they don't party.
I think we're going to this season. I think we're going to see
Craig Conover, our favorite Craig, said in an interview that once this season comes out, you will get a lot more clarity on why this relationship breaks up throughout the season. So I know Craig's not an editor on the show, but from his viewpoint, he says those things will become a lot more clear throughout this season. So I am thinking that we will get more than we think we will get, but Shooter is right. You know, like, and Beverly Hills was the worst example of this, the way they kind of teased this Mo and Kyle thing out. Mm-hmm. And the picking back up cameras were for two scenes that really gave us no information. The most information we got was in a talking head with Kyle of, I did lose my trust. I was not able to get it back. And very nonspecific, because they're very protective of their family, which is odd when you're on a reality show for 13 seasons, but I have my hopes very high on Summer House. But Carl, you've interviewed Carl on your show. I have as well. I think if we were to compare it to Vanderpump Rules, like, I don't love that, you know, he did this on camera. I don't love that he called a camera crew before he potentially told Lindsay, but I will say what I do respect is that Carl has hung back and laid low since.
Yeah.
Like, he did BravoCon obviously, and he's done things here and there. but he didn't go out and do a karaoke band across the nation. He didn't start a podcast called Carl's Crew. He didn't, you know, he's letting
that's a good podcast, Dave.
Yeah, by the way, do you, Carl, I'll sue the pants off you if you take that. but you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Like Carl almost, I don't want to give a guy too much credit, but there is this element of he is potentially letting Lindsay have time to heal before the show starts and his story starts coming out. Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah.
That could be the case. And like with my stance on the whole entire thing, and when the news broke, I'm trying to remain as neutral as possible until I see information, until we get some kind of answers, because we really haven't gotten any. All we know is that Carl called the camera crew and everyone was so up in arms about that. And is it kind of messed up? Yeah. But every other show would try to do that. That's what's
confusing. Do we wish Kyle would have done it? Yes, of course.
Yeah. So like he's getting vilified for doing something on a reality TV show that is reality TV centric that most other shows would push regardless. So I thought that was weird out of the gate. Why I'm trying to remain neutral is because we've heard Lindsay. She's been a bit more outspoken since then. As you said, Carl's been kind of laying low. So there is 100% a world where he may not be the villain here. Not that she is either, but maybe they just did not click. But I feel like it's weird that Carl got vilified right out of the gate immediately.
Well, because everyone's you went that close. You get to the point where you're having people come on, your people are booking trips. Like that's very damn close to the actual wedding. And I think that's part of the vilification is that it's something that he, if this truly, you know, we watch this happen, he probably realized a lot earlier than when he told her potentially and was trying to work that up. But this thing was moving so fast to get it on screen, on camera, whatever, that I think is the part where it's like, oh damn, but at least he didn't go through with it.
That's fair. But that's my point. Is he supposed to go through with it because people were already traveling or because people already paid for their trip? Like that's not a reason to get married. Like, is it messed up? Yeah. Did it go as well as it could have as far as calling off an engagement? No, but at the same time, you can't get pissed off at this guy because he called the wedding off because it wasn't right for him. And he also frames the conversation as I went into this to have a difficult conversation. It resulted in a breakup, but that wasn't the goal. So there's so many outliers and there's so many question marks that everyone was so quick to be like, can you believe this guy? It was like a week until the wedding. People booked rooms. They did this. They paid this. They paid that. Yeah, that sucks. And yeah, he's kind of an asshole for waiting till the last minute. But at the same time, you can't force somebody, man, woman, or otherwise, to walk down the aisle and get married because they made people go on a trip or made people book rooms. That's not a reason to get married. And if this wasn't right in his heart of hearts and he needed to call it off, he could have went about it better. He doesn't deserve to be labeled the problem when we don't know what's going on. That's all I'm saying. And it could be him. It could be Lindsay. It could be mutual. I'm assuming it's kind of mutual, but I think that it's weird that he got so much shit immediately because of certain things that, yes, again, not great, but he doesn't deserve to be labeled a bad guy because he made a life decision about something that might be best.
But still, that's what we do. That's what we seem to do these days. No. I mean, I'm joking, but I'm not joking. We do that with men. We do that with women. All of a sudden it's bad guy. Yeah. And you know, I think the funny thing is
like
everybody
human being, you know,
everybody that's doing the labeling, including myself, we realize how many gray areas there are in life. Is that how many like elements, you know, like that there, that life is 360 with all of the colors and it is not just as simple, you know, and especially once you start talking about these people, you realize how not simple it is when we talk about people in terms of seasons, like sports players. Oh, they had a good season last season. Oh, like I said, Erica Jane had a good season this season, quote unquote, like had a couple horrible seasons before that where I thought she was a horrible human being. Now, I'm not fully out of that pocket yet, but she did a good season. So it is interesting that we just throw those labels out. But I will then push back to you, Steele and Shooter, because I saw your video this week about Tom Sandoval in the New York Times article. This is just a man who cannot get out of his own way. And once again, we've labeled him a bad guy. And sometimes I'm like, he's a dumb guy. He's a stupid guy. Where do you stand with somebody like Tom Sandoval as of now? Because I feel like he was starting to get goodwill. The season was trying to paint him in this light. But then the Nick Vile interview happens where he comes off just as angry as ever. And that's a month ago. And then the New York Times article comes out. He did that in late December. But my God,
two of the things that showed me that this dude has a long way from actually realizing what he was a part of.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to label somebody as like, what's our line for being a bad guy? It's really just about,
well, reality. I mean, like maybe like, I guess we could go Harvey Weinstein.
Heartless. Oh yeah, exactly. So he's not at that level, but yeah. I mean, there's a line between him doing very dumb things, which I mean, he did. Tom Sandoval did a lot of dumb things, and then continuing the dumb things over and over and over again, in spite of his own image. I think once you get to that point and you really don't care anymore, that's when you become a bad guy. And the air about him is that he doesn't give a shit what other people think. Now, that's okay. If you just lean into the fact that you cheated on your girlfriend and you're kind of over it at this point and you feel like people shouldn't care about that anymore, that's one thing. But if you continue to do more and more things like the New York Times article, like the Vile Files, where you just come off as, I don't give a shit in general about my self-image, one, that's not good for you. Two, you come across as a bad guy. Like, you can't make those comments in the New York Times article. They're ignorant. They're very stupid, but they're also just plain wrong. And if you don't understand why they're wrong, then that makes it even worse. And you saw his half-hearted apology on Instagram where he posted some fucking story and he's like, I wasn't really thinking. I was just talking. Like, he still tried to explain it away instead of just simply apologizing. And that is the number one thing when it comes to Tom Sandoval, is he's still trying to explain his side of things. He's not just apologizing and taking responsibility. He's saying, well, this is actually what I meant. It's like, there's a whole fucking article, buddy. If you actually meant what you meant, then we would have been able to see that.
But it wasn't even just that quote. It wasn't even just the horrific quote. It was a string of instances throughout that article. And it just shows how
he made a Danny Masterson comparison.
Well, the Danny Masterson talking about like the hyper reality of living moments three times because of reality shows. And it just shows, and this is like a warning to all Bravo celebrities, how this show, if you're on it for more than five seasons, it turns your brain into pudding almost, where you start thinking of yourself as filming all the time, as creating these moments of living this like documented life, where it almost takes away from actual real life. And it made me think, now more than ever, I was like, this dude does need to step away for a year at some point and touch grass, get back to reality, to actually be able to have a long career in reality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And like, my whole thing with it, and you know, I got a few comments from people in that video I made that are like, when are you guys gonna like leave him alone, this and that? And I'm like, and I responded, I said, look,
when he stops doing this shit.
Yeah, I was like, this is our job, is to comment on these things. No, you're fine. And like, this is our job. We're supposed to comment on these things. I don't want to talk about Tom Sandoval anymore. I really don't. I don't want to make videos about him. I don't want to keep going back to Sandoval. I think that we've talked about it ad nauseum. My whole point with it is, and calling people like this out, because I think people like this are dangerous. And like, to your point, like, what makes a bad guy? In my opinion, like, what makes a bad guy, things you can look for is like the lack of accountability, as Shooter said. Like, that's scary. The fact that he can go into these knowing what he has gone through. Okay. He's set up for a redemption arc because they want this season to go well. And that seems to be the only play they have. So they're editing him really well. They're in turn editing Ariana to look like she's kind of arrogant and annoying. She has that one scene where she's doing her makeup in the mirror.
Like, I knew she was going to get dinged on that, but what she was saying was dead on right. Like,
but she looks a certain way, and that's Bravo editing. They're trying to paint this picture. So my point is, they're trying to do you a favor. All you have to do is, one, get out of your own way, Tom, and two, take accountability. Don't go on podcasts and say the things you've been saying. Don't go on a podcast with Billy Lee and play Mary Fuck Kill with Ariana in the group. Say, like, I can't answer this. Like, be more down to earth. Like, understand the image that you have right now and be ever present
enough. The way Billy Lee was staring at this man like he was a Greek god coming out of a cold plunge. I'm like, ordinary man would be able to.
It was pretty,
this is a baptism of fire.
It was a 9 out of 10 on the cold plunge scale. So that's really intense.
It's so intense. It's a 9 out of 10. And she's like, oh my God, he's not
so
human.
Strong.
You're a warrior.
You're so strong.
Yeah, I was like, but I was like, of course Tom's going to love to have somebody around that makes him like, that stares at him like he is God, like stares at him like this man can do no wrong.
It between turns that and my the drummer, people like that, Jason, like, it turns my stomach when people like him have been. Look, he went through the ringer, and we have talked about it. Like, yeah, it's a cheating scandal. He didn't kill anybody. Like, we shouldn't still be giving him this much hate across the board. Things got out of control during Scandoval for both him and Raquel. Like, it was borderline too much. But then, when you have a chance to like step up and say, look, I messed up. Even with James, like, is it a similar scenario with Doty? You can say that there's similarities, but the fact that he would even bring that up in that moment and not have the wherewithal to just say, you know what, James, I am sorry I betrayed you, period.
Even Schwartz was like, dude, all you had to do was say yes, I agree. Like,
it's
all
so
you had to
simple,
do.
But he's so determined to clear his name for something
it's
that's
the ego,
not clearable.
The ego. It's like O.J. Simpson. I didn't kill Nicole and Ron. Yeah, you
right.
did.
You did. And yeah, when things keep coming out and keep coming out and keep coming out and you stand by the guy that you've been, that tells me that this is who you are and you're not a good person. And I give people a million chances. I do not believe that people are inherently bad to a fault. I will give you another shot. So I'm watching this like this could be an interesting social experiment almost to watch somebody be horrible, go through everything terrible, come out the other side and actually learn. But instead, you get the opposite.
This is the horrible thing though, you guys, is that he then, like I keep saying on the show, it's a spoiler alert because he did that Vile Files a month ago, you know, and it's like, oh, spoiler alert, he didn't change. He didn't do any of the work. He's just as angry, if not angrier than he was. So for the audience, we get these like context clues of, oh my God, he didn't do any of the work that we're seeing him try to say that he's doing to get back in the friend group. But then in the same episode, he's then yelling about Lala and Sheena, even though he is having an opportunity to go to Tahoe with them and actually pull them aside. He is still so angry. And how are we at a point in this whole saga where Raquel or Rachel is communicating better than Tom Sandoval? She seems to have a better grip on the actual reality of that situation than Tom Sandoval does. How did that happen?
I guess because she actually did remove herself from everything. I mean, she wasn't on social media. She did the work. So, like, it, and you know what? We have no reason to think that she didn't. She could have just been sitting with her parents for, you know, months on end. It doesn't really matter. She stayed out of the limelight. She didn't say anything. She did the fucking Bethany Frankel interview, which was awful. But after that, she did nothing.
But by the way, that was awful on Bethany's part. Like, I mean, it was awful she Bethany, did it. But Bethany, it was also Bethany did not land. Like, Bethany was so self-serving. And that's why I disagree with her being the head of Reality Reckoning. But you're right. And so BPR as a whole, though, we're four episodes in. What do you guys think so far?
I think they're playing a dangerous game here. I think that they went the wrong route. Yeah, I think they went the wrong route immediately. I think they're trying to hone in on this, like the aftermath of Scandoval. And look, you're not going to capture that. I hate to use this term, but that lightning in a bottle again, because it was so polarizing. It was so over the top and it captured the world. It was mentioned in the White House committee dinner. Like, there's no way you can get back to that point. So instead of going into this season like, oh, we're just going to pick up the pieces from all of this shit, unfortunately, we are much further removed from this than they are in the show. They're 3 months out. We're a lot further out than that. So,
and people still don't seem to be able to get that. Like, it's so interesting when you go on Facebook, and I try not to anymore, but you'll just read these comments where you're like, guys, like, you realize this wasn't shot last week, right? Like, guys, I'm like, hell, like, come on, you're not this dumb, please. Like,
no,
and the Ariana hate is so insane that I just, it makes me so disappointed in humanity where I'm like, and it's coming from women. It's coming from fellow women of give Tom a break. He's a great guy. She wasn't giving him the sex, the pins and the batteries, all of this stuff. And I'm like, guys, if we can't get it right on the easy things, like this is an easy thing. And it doesn't mean you have to cancel Tom Sandoval, but come on. Ariana is out there not crying on camera. And that's a ding against her, according to a lot of people. She's actually picking herself up, holding herself to a higher standard and going out there and taking these opportunities and shining through them. But that's a ding against her because we want to see women suffer. We want to see women be victims instead of actually being a victim and then using that to catapult to the next level.
And that's well said and well phrased. And I agree. And I think that Bravo knew that as well. And that's why we're seeing the editing that we're seeing, because they knew, okay, let's flip it now. Let's put the heat on Ariana and make her out to potentially be not the villain, but someone that can't get over it or somebody that is arrogant and has this ego about her now. And look, with everything that she's been through coming out the other side, like had they highlighted that, like, okay, what's Ariana been up to? Let's go see what the result of all of this has been in the positive way. Like she's gotten a lot of things going for her now. Cool. Now let's go check in with Schwartz and how Schwartz and Sandy's is doing. How's he picking up the pieces there? I don't need to see how the friendships are going to get repaired with this scumbag that doesn't deserve it just because they want to try to push this show further with the group together. It's not going to work, and it's going to lead to a season. We're three episodes in,
yeah,
and it's dragging. Yeah. It's dragging, and
I always think it takes a while for the producers to actually tell the story they're telling, but they're in a difficult position because this is actually truly what they are dealing with 3 months after the case of getting the band back together. And the reality is none of these people should be friends with each other, nor a lot of them do they want to be friends with each other. So you're having to reintroduce themselves to each other. Schwartz is doing the aw shucks thing. Lala's talking tough, but you can get her to back down in a second. Lisa is trying to pull people and guilt them into being friends with Tom Sandoval in a certain sense. We have these big things happening. Now, DJ James Kennedy, to your point, Steele, you said you give people so many chances. I'm assuming DJ James Kennedy is somebody you are giving a chance to, even though we've seen a lot of his behavior in the past. Like, Shooter, what do you think of DJ James Kennedy?
I mean, I think that his redemption arc, if you want to even call it that, I think it's been, he's got one of the more interesting character arcs across all of Bravo. And I still come back to the thing that we heard from Tom yelling things at the reunion last year, where he was talking about James's behavior in Atlantic City. Like, there's a lot of things going on there that we just never really dug into. And
we just forget. We just magically forget because he's so damn funny on TV. Casa Kennedy, Casa Kennedy, welcome. I spent $2,000 on pool thing, you know, guys night. He does well on TV. He shines.
He does shine, but I think he also right now has a good relationship where a lot of people see Allie. Steele and I see Allie as a good component of the show. Now, does she bring a lot to the show? No, not really. But she keeps James. She keeps James in check, which is all we really need from her. And if she's going to convince him to, you know, write his life and change things and be a better person, then that's all we really want. I think the real issue here and what's going to end up doing this season in total is the fact that they picked up the cameras after 3 months. Why not let it sit for a little while? Now, I understand, obviously, it's in hindsight. It's an easy thing to say. But if you let that chill for a little while, there's not a lot of animosity. So when we're sitting here and we're, you know, analyzing all the little scenes that are going on, or where Ariana's in the pool and she's complaining that people are even talking about Tom in her presence, that's, of course, going to happen. It just fucking happened a couple of months ago.
Yes, and
why are people mad about that?
Imagine you're at, like, these are the conversations that you have. Like, this person was betrayed by this person she was with for 9 years. So if somebody comes up to her and says, oh, Lisa's trying this and this, of course you're going to say, it feels like a manipulation to me. Now, Ariana's grown up enough to say, you're going to do whatever you want to do. And also, to your point about Allie, it was fascinating. And I will say, Allie's a good girlfriend. She kept a tight lid on that thing where she left.
Yep.
She left DJ James Kennedy for a weekend, which was revealed in this. And I was kind of shocked, but also it is very hypocritical and very VPR for James to be like, this time I'm doing sobriety for me, but I did do it to get Allie back to the house. Like, it's like, wait a second. Yeah. You're saying two completely separate things. Steele, you're sober. In terms of sobriety journeys, is it a dangerous path that DJ James Kennedy is walking? Because in the same episode, we see him being California sober and literally chugging an insanely strong THC drink that would knock me so far off my ass. What are your thoughts when you watch these things as somebody that's been sober for a while?
So
how many years, by the way, Steele?
I'm 5 years sober.
Fuck yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll be 6 in August. And I dabble with California sober as well. Like, I'll take an edible here and there. I stay away from those drinks intentionally. Because in my mind, drinking a substance that makes me feel any kind of different way is too close to alcohol. So that freaks me out. So I don't even like look at those. My whole thing with James and the sobriety thing, I gave him a lot of credit initially when he said, you know, I'm doing this for me. I'm like, great, because that's the only way that this works. And there is no other way about it. If you don't do it for yourself, it's not going to stick. So I was proud of that. But then when he says that about Allie and brings it up, I'm like, ah, shit. And then I think my biggest issue with it and what scares me about it, because if he is trying to get sober and is successfully doing so, great. I think that if that's a choice somebody makes, it is only beneficial for your life in so many aspects. Now, what scares me about it is if it is for Allie, then you're giving it a potential end date. So if that relationship ends, does that mean it's almost like there's a term called dry drunk? And a lot of people can be dry drunk for 5, 6, 7, 10 years even, but they're not actually sober. And it's pretty much a ticking time bomb. And people like that tend to give themselves an excuse in their head. Like, okay, but if this happens, there's no way I won't be able to drink. And then that thing happens. And now they're like, well, I've already justified this 2 years ago. If this was a thing, now I'm going to drink. And he's going to go off the rails again. So I think that his sobriety journey is a little scary because he's not leaning on anybody else about it. Like, he's seeming to do it on his own, and that's next to impossible to do. You need some kind of support system there. That's not Lala, who seems to think that she's the queen of sobriety and knows everything that there is to know about sobriety. And if anybody, like, the fact that she got upset that Schwartz said, "I'm sober curious," she's like, that's not a thing. That's 1000% a thing. And that's wonderful that he is thinking about dabbling in that. And that's how some people get sober, is they try it out. They maybe will have a couple of drinks like a few weeks in, and that's actually kind of a turning point for a lot of people because they've been sober for like 3 weeks. Like, you know what? I'm going to dabble again. And they have a drink, and afterwards, like, I didn't like that. And then they're actually sober after the fact. So I think that her approach to it is way too gatekeeping. It's like she holds the key to be sober, and that bugs me a lot. And then with James, it bugs me because if you're going to be sober and claim that it's for the right reasons, for yourself, and then say it's about Allie, now you're giving too many things. And to me, that tells me he's not being guided through this process. And that's dangerous, because trying to do it on your own, I could not. I was not able to. That's why I went to a 30-day inpatient rehab center, and it helped me get my life together. It saved my life because I almost died. So like, when I see this process playing out, it's such a dangerous thing because nobody's going to comment on it, because it's too sensitive a subject. Nobody's going to challenge him on it because of that. The way that Lala may challenge him is going to be too harsh or too maybe not understanding to it. So like, that freaks me out. I just wish that if this is a journey he's taking and people are watching him chug a substance such as a THC drink that will end up resulting in a similar feeling. It's not drunk, but it's the same end goal. You're trying to change your presence of mind with a substance, and it's a liquid substance, which is alcohol. So that to me is too close. I think that he's playing, again, I keep using this term, he's playing a really dangerous game with his sobriety, which is not something you should mess around with. And I wish that the people around him could point at that next week, maybe be like, "Hey man, I know you're being sober. Your behavior is a little alarming. Like, you shouldn't be chugging shit as though you're drinking." And
The chugging scenes from seasons ago when he was chugging a bottle of Fireball. He was like,
it's too close, right? It's just too similar of a substance that's going to make you feel a different way. And I think that it's a dangerous approach to take to sobriety. And I think that it's such a delicate topic and a delicate process that if it's not done under some kind of supervision of somebody that knows what they're doing and gives a shit and really wants to see you through it, it's almost impossible. So I wish him the best, and I hope that this is real. I hope that he's able to stick to it, and I hope that he's able to watch this scene and be like, not a great look. And maybe that's not the best thing for my sobriety, because it's pushing me towards a substance, a liquid substance that can make me feel different. So,
and even when he's not getting those wins of big DJ gigs and things like that, that he can still remain a presence of mind in his sobriety, even when he's not getting that constant adulation and serotonin boost, that he can remain that way and show that even if he's not getting big wins and big paychecks, it's still worth it. He is still worth it to remain somewhat sober. Do you guys have 10 more minutes? I'm sorry this went so long.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, sorry, guys. But I do want to, as we start winding down here, I did want to bring up Southern Hospitality, because it is interesting that you have Vanderpump Rules, which this started when they were younger working at a bar. And now we feel a really dark, horrible feeling sometimes when we watch the show because they're nearing 40 or in their 40s. But we have these Southern Hospitality kids, and I call them kids because I watch it and go, "Oh, you kids."
Yeah,
and they're making these horrible mistakes. You're just like, you're like, "Oh, they'll figure it out." I look at them like they're so young. And I was watching the reunion last night, which I actually really liked. And last time when I was on your show, you were talking about texting with Joe Bradley, and this Joe Bradley shooter, he is not having the best season because he was telling other people's business to Maddie. He was kind of used as a pawn in one way. And then he's getting dinged for potentially hooking up with the Countess Luann. Shooter, you talked to Joe. Is the Countess a good kisser?
No comment on that one. Honestly, as far as we know, nothing actually ended up happening. That was all just some tabloid shit.
So TJ last night was completely saying, "I'm 99% sure something happened." We think TJ is full, because TJ seems like a nice guy.
He said. It's what Joe said versus what TJ said. So there's no, like, we don't have physical evidence to prove either way.
physical. Imagine if we did. Yeah, well, we are getting the we are getting the DNA. We're getting DNA saliva testing swapped. Right now.
Yeah, we got saliva swaps from both. So yeah, we'll get some back.
Countess Luann dropped a pizza box that we grabbed for DNA testing. That's amazing. Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, Joe had a very tough season, and we, you know, we talked about it last year. He had a rough end of the season last year as well, and it's all around Maddie. It depends on how Maddie's doing. I mean, he was madly in love with her last year.
Yeah.
Oh, he was madly in love with her last year, and then this year, obviously, the Trevor of it all. He puts himself in a position where he tries to play both sides of the fence, and he finally got called out for it. I mean, again, we're only two seasons in, but he's known a lot of these people for a long time. The people like TJ, the people like Brad, he can sit down with them. They'll call him out on his shit right away, and they're
100%
true.
That's why the show works, by the way.
Yeah.
The second season really works. It comes together because this is a real friend group. It's not housewives being cast on top of each other.
Correct.
They actually have some history, and that's why it's good.
They have a lot of history, and like we even saw a couple of moms hanging out together because that's how close
know, that
they
cool.
are. So that's really cool. And we get to see that. And those are the good relationships that make these shows work, because we actually get real relationships on this show. So watching his friends call him out for his behavior, Steele and I have talked about it a couple different times. He spiraled this season. I mean, he got to a point where nothing was going his way. I mean, he just kind of had his head down. He was working. He was complaining about how he wasn't able to drink on the job anymore. So he was no longer Joey bottles. He was Joey water bottles. So like everything, at least when it came to Republic, and Republic is what he puts a lot of time into, wasn't working his way. And here comes Emmy, which Steele and I have debated a little bit on whether or not Leva promoted her for the show or not. I could see it happening.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think there's a world in which that's part. I mean, two things can be true at once. She can be good at a job, and also it can be good for the show.
No, and I loved the office jealousy, if you will, and because like that brings me close to home, where I don't know if you ever worked in an office or corporate America before, Ryan, but you get to see somebody else get a promotion and you're instantly pissed off. You just want nothing to do with it. You start complaining to other people. We got to see that front and center. And did he take it too far? Yes. He started complaining to everybody, and then he even went to Leva and the actual general manager, and he went through everybody, and he was showing how every step of the way he was displeased.
In what world did Joe think that would be okay? Like, in what
no
world
idea.
Did he think his opinion was better than his boss's, you know?
No idea, honestly. He handled the whole thing. I think that he would probably say the same thing. He handled it pretty poorly, and he let his emotions get
but
the
best.
But he's
young. That's what I'm saying. He's
exactly.
Every time somebody does bad behavior on the show, I'm like, he's young.
These kids, they'll figure it out. But you know what? We would probably, if Sandoval was this age and he was going through all of that, we would say the same thing. We'd be like, maybe they're not kids. Maybe
there's
it's
no
just what
they're there's
doing.
No way in 15 years that he'll be doing this in a 9-year relationship. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so Joe, watch Vanderpump Rules. Make sure you don't wind up like this guy, but at the same time, it is fascinating television to watch. Now, Joe Bradley, I believe he came to your live show in New York, if I'm not mistaken, and he was dating Danielle at the time, because I think Danielle came
too.
Well, but now they've called things off, according to Joe in an interview this week, even though I know it happened before then, which I think is a good move. But I was like, Danielle's going from Alex to Joe, and Joe's going from Danielle to Countess Luann. I mean, it's wild. And I was like, and some part of me is like, well, how much is this just to get the show out there, to get get us talking about this stuff?
So in the times that we have interacted with Joe, and like I talk to Joe, Shooter talks to Joe, like, I don't think that this is for the show. I think that he got caught up in something, like, and I think that this is kind of his MO. I don't believe that he has bad intentions ever. I don't think that's ever how he goes into something, is to like cause a bunch of shit. I think that he gets caught
like
up in
Maddie.
Moments. Yeah. Like, I think that he gets caught up in moments, and then he does something dumb and then doesn't know how to handle it. And when people challenge him about it, he tries quickly to smooth it over. And when it doesn't go well, he resorts to getting pissed off and saying something dumb. And if you watch this season play out, like, yeah, it was a bad season. My guy spiraled. Like, and I genuinely, you know, why I love TJ, and in the beginning of season one, it irritated me, but I learned to, like, that's who he is. Like, he's just going to tell you how he's feeling, and he's going to tell you straight up, and he's not lying. Like, he's never lying about what he says. It comes off brash sometimes and a little out of nowhere, but he's going to tell you exactly what's going on, how he feels about it, and where you're falling short. Watching this season play out, man, like, genuinely, I'm concerned about Joe. Like, I didn't see like a funny, like, oh yeah, like, he, there's just his villain era, like, he's going downhill. Like, you're seeing a dude spiral. like literally spiral in front of our eyes to the point where at the reunion, I'm like, all right, well, he's had a chance to watch the show. Now he's seen where he's fallen short. Hopefully he can take some notes and come into this without a chip on his shoulder. Instead, he's got all the chips on his shoulder and he's doubling down on everything that he did. It's like, dude, if you can't see what happened here. And like I said, we've talked to Joe. He's not a bad dude. I don't think he goes into shit trying to upset people and trying to rock the boat and trying to come up with these crazy responses to people. I think he gets caught up. He gets overwhelmed and he just reacts. And
but that DM he sent to TJ that got released of like, you're exactly a friend of your friend. I'm like, you're talking like a housewife, dude.
Yeah.
Like you're like, come on. It doesn't need to be like this. Please wake up, because no matter, like, you don't have to do this. Like, this is not like, and stop watching the Bravo then if you're starting to call fellow cast members friends of, like, do not get to know the vernacular of Bravo. Just be you. For better
by
or
the
worse,
way,
be you.
By the way, what TJ said wasn't the worst thing in the world. Like, he didn't get deserved to be called a rat. He said he's 99% sure what everyone else is saying. Like,
and you could tell he was
different.
Almost like ready to cry when he said, like, you know, he was like, everybody was like, say it. And then Andy said, hey, how sure in a percentage of you are you of this? And you could tell it pained him to say it.
Yeah. And I think he's just so caught up in this shitstorm of his own doing and does not know how to get out of it that we're seeing somebody that's completely lost. I don't think he knows which way is up right now. I don't think that he has the close friends that he used to have. And genuinely, this is coming from I'm worried about Joe. Like, I hope that he gets kind of a slap in the face at some point during all this and realizes the relationship with Maddie does not seem very conducive or not very healthy.
Yeah. Nor would anybody recommend that after seeing Maddie this year.
No. So like, I hope that he gets to a place where he can look inward and realize like how tough this season was. And I think he leaned on the wrong things to get through it. And that's the arc of a Bravo show, right? Like, he could come back next year with this newfound, you know, self-awareness and be like, look, I messed up last year. Was I drinking too much? Was I doing this? Yeah. Was I doing it? Who knows? But I'm afraid that he's going to lean into being a villain for a while. And I don't know.
That. I don't see that. I don't see him doing that, honestly.
We need a Christmas carol with Joe Bradley, where the ghosts of Christmas future, past and present.
The ghost of VPR.
Yeah, Jack Saylor comes and visits him.
Jack Saylor.
Like,
let me tell you what your life's going to be one day. You're going to be on the valley.
Joe Bradley's saloon, you know, like, listen, I could talk to you guys all damn day. I didn't even get to talk about the Brandy Glanville mess that's happening.
Oh God.
But I really love you guys so much. And I've seen you come so far.
We need to just make this a regular thing.
I know. I mean, if you guys would be up for it, we should just round robin, like your show to my show. But it truly is, because it gets me excited about talking about it again when I talk about you guys, because I do a lot of solo stuff and it gets so alienating sometimes. But you really get me excited again. And I think that's also why the listeners out there, if you haven't started listening, to go listen, because they get you excited, you know, like, of course, they're nowhere near as good looking or funny as I am, but they have their own thing. And I think that's what we can all take away from this.
True.
Okay,
but I do want to tell you guys, two shows coming up, two live shows, one in Philadelphia a week from this Wednesday, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep. Correct. City Winery in Philadelphia. City Winery in Philly. You can go to our Instagram. The link is in the bio. The next show is May 3rd, and that is in D.C. at the Union Stage. We actually have three shows coming up, because
May
then there's
3rd
another
in the
one.
D.C.
That's right. And then Boston is actually June 14th, and that's the City Winery in Boston. So we got three shows coming up.
Yeah, well, I got to come to the D.C. or Boston one. That just sounds like fun as hell.
Hey, you have an open invite, pal.
You know, I really would like to actually come to one of those. I mean, that would really truly be really very cool. Actually, I think I could actually do one of those. But you guys are awesome. And like, listen, from the first time talking to you guys until now, I just got to say, like, not even how far you've come, but you're just really good. You're I know that sounds, I don't want that to sound like, but like the way you express, this sounds so dumb, but just the way you express, like, it really is so great to be talking to you guys. And I'm so excited for you. And I love seeing you on Watch What Happens Live, which we talked about on your show, but it just goes to show you, like Tom Sandoval in the New York Times, if you're going to get these good opportunities, come correct. Like the Brav Bros did. Like the Brav Bros didn't come out there and go, well, hey, how are you guys doing when Andy says that? And they're like, hey, can we talk about QAnon? Like, they're not going to say, you know, like, they're going to use opportunities and show them how good they are instead of completely cutting themselves off at the knees. So is there anything coming on else up that we can support you guys with?
Just the live shows. Come to the live shows. We're really excited for those. We're stoked. If you come out to one, we're going to bring you up on stage. So be ready for that. A fair warning to you.
Bring your tomatoes and your cabbage.
Do that too. Hit Shooter with a tomato.
I'll catch it. You know, I'll catch it.
He's got hands, but no. And to what you just said, like I know you said like, oh, it sounds corny or whatever. It really doesn't. Like, we appreciate that. You've been in this game for a really long time and stuff like that means a lot to us. You know, you've been a huge help and someone we looked up to. Zach Peter, like, we could list off a bunch of people that helped us kind of move us along this whole thing, but
we all
always,
help each other. We all,
yeah,
help
which
each
is a beautiful
that's
thing
about the community.
That's and the thing that, you is know, that we can all rise up together, you know?
Yeah. And we always say, like, you know, we never want to feel like we belong here. We just want to feel like we're lucky to be part of the conversation. So we're just
exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be the head of the table. I just want to be invited, you know?
I'm just glad that we're here. Yeah.
So anyways, the Bra Bro guys, go subscribe to their podcast. They do 4 episodes a week. They are excellent, as you have heard on this show. Rate them 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and I hope you guys will go check out their live shows. And hopefully I will be on your show again soon, and you'll be back on mine and rinse and repeat and all of that stuff. Thank you, Bra Bros.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.